Welcome back to Ping. This is episode
69.
You said it, not me. And with that, Ping, of course, is the weekly show where we give you all the stories that softies are pinging about over the course of that week. And we're going to get to some of those hot stories. We've got a lot of fun stories this week. I like to say that because I picked them.
Oh, okay.
And therefore, I think they're fun. Before that, I want to talk about your weekend, Paul.
Yeah, my weekend.
What did you do?
I don't know. Not a whole lot. Maybe play a little tennis.
Really?
And,
like this?
Yeah, not like that. Not like Wii tennis either, like actual tennis with a physical racket.
Weird. Mm-hmm. Outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see you
really
getting out much.
You don't see my beautiful tan right now?
I fell off my fake stand. It makes people think I'm taller than I am.
I think you're begging the question, what did you do this past weekend?
I actually went up in the plane that was me reeling you in.
Oh, I see. I thought you were playing with like some mobile phone that had like...
No,
fishing
I didn't do that. But what I did do was I went up in this plane called the Fat Albert, which is the sort of leader plane and the supply plane for the Blue Angels. You do know about the Blue Angels.
Oh, wow. So, Seafair.
Seafair!
Oh.
Yeah, it was a big event here in Seattle. Blue Angels travel everywhere. They're not just in Seattle. They're the badass. I'll get the technical details. I'm sure Larry could shout them out now. What sort of type of plane they are. They go really fast and they fly really close and do all these tricks. I didn't go up in that plane.
Uh-huh.
But I went up in, like I said, their supply plane called the Fat Albert, which does...
Hey.
That was funny. I didn't see that coming. It goes up really fast, and then it goes down really fast, and you are weightless for the time of year. So
you're
really
basically
cool.
Already weightless. Like, we're probably, like, the two thinnest anchors on Channel
9. I love you. I do. Well, we're going to have footage of that next week of all that fun we're putting it together. But right now, let's just get to the stories that you came here to see. Start the show.
All right, 23 times 3, episode 69, coming your way.
Huh?
Okay, everyone. We're going to start the show with some Windows Phone 7 news.
Nice.
Because that's the hot topic that everyone seems to be pinging each other about. And the latest and greatest news that I've heard is that they're actually trying to incorporate some voice recognition into the phone. And they're going to combine that with the translator technology, which I actually showed you in a previous Windows 7 video that I will link to right here. So rather than having to be, you're in a foreign land.
Okay.
You're in
Canada.
Right. They're speaking all Canadian and stuff. It's odd. And you don't want to have to, you know, a lot of the phones don't have keyboards nowadays.
Sure.
So
they don't have physical keyboards.
Physical keyboards. So it might be a little bit cumbersome. It takes too much time to type in whatever you want to translate. Obviously, it's easier to just speak into your phone, automatically translated. We've seen this technology before on desktop computers, and in fact, TechFest, we showed off some of that. I think Larry Larson did a piece on that. But now you'll have that ability right there on your phone.
Oh, cool. So, like, if I'm up in Canada, I can be like, I learned this in 7th grade. And then it'll be like, oh, I learned this in grade 7.
Yes.
So that'd be really good translation.
It'll translate that for you. And you know what's funny? I was watching this really good movie called Disclosure with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore.
Okay.
Do you know the movie?
I know the actors.
Okay. The premise of the movie is about sexual harassment. Not important.
Of course not.
The important part is that, so I think the movie is from the early 90s. So there's a scene where Michael Douglas he's worked for this technology company, and they're creating this virtual software technology, and he needs to get into it before, you know, the other people delete the files. And he's talking to his computer, and he's like, computer, show me all the files on this. And the computer comes up and is like, sorry, Michael, we can't do that for you today. He's like, computer, I need you to do exactly what I say, and then go make a left down the right hallway. And he's just going, and like, that's how people envisioned talking to our computers.
Right.
Where they're having full-on dialogue, real natural conversation, and we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever really want to get to that. I mean, I would say, like, Jarvis in all the Iron Man movies is probably, like, the coolest thing, where it's just, like, short little commands and, like, some little, like, dry British humor on the way back. Like, that's something that's probably a little better than, like, having to shout at a computer that's not even following your directions. Like, if I want that, I would just have
you. If your computer's shouting back at you with, like, Demi Moore's face and body...
Like,
maybe then.
Okay, Demi Moore in the early 90s, sure.
Right.
Like, Demi Moore now?
Right.
Not so much.
Anyway, I'm just saying this is where your phone may take you.
Oh.
If you have any questions, please ask the angel.
Where do I want to go today?
Next.
All right, Laura, we've always been a big fan of app competitions on here, since this is, Channel 9's a nice, good developer network. And there was recently a competition called King of Bing Maps.
Yes, we did a story on it with Chris Pendleton. We talked about get involved in the King of Bing, but you can't get involved anymore.
Yep. So a lot of great apps have come out of this. One is a taxi fare calculator.
Absolutely.
So you can estimate how much it would cost you to go from point A to point B on a map, and it will recommend...
Which is great. I mean, I'm from New York City. So anyone from New York knows that when you...
The subway system?
Well, actually, most people who are foreign to the subway system are afraid of it.
Okay.
You know, even though it's a simple grid and it really makes a lot of sense. But you get in a cab, and if the taxi driver goes, can sense that you're from Minnesota, say, or Canada... he's going to take you around Washington Square Park a few times. He's going to run up your fare. So if you already know how much it would be, you can stop these cabbies from ripping you off.
Yeah, and be like, hey, I have $18 to give you. Get me there as quick as you can.
Right. Another app that came out of this, I'm not sure if it, actually, I don't think it came out of the King of Bing competition, but it's a new app they're talking about for Bing Maps. They've instituted this sort of Wikipedia of global street mapping. So you can put on another layer onto the Bing Map. I think it's called SMO, but I will double check that.
SMO.
Street map sites, street mapping something.
Okay, because SMO for me means the SQL Server Management Objects from the SQL Server.
Well, I mean, that's what it means for most of us, too, but I wasn't sure if these guys out there were going to get the SQL side of things.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd stick with the mapping side of things. Anyway, it's a Wikipedia of sorts where people, users can enter their own information onto the maps and sort of grow and collect information that way. So all sorts of good things going on in Bing Maps.
Yeah, one of the other cool things that they had on here is just... It shows you where there's different sales tax in different areas.
Yeah. It's a whole different application. That one's cool.
So you can compare sales tax in different regions. There's another thing that I saw recently where you can actually put in your place on the map, and you say, find me the nearest parking, and then you can optimize for, like, the closest parking or, like, the cheapest parking for the time in there. Yeah.
That's good. That would be really good. I mean, especially, you know, obviously in metropolises and, like, Seattle areas where it's like, sometimes I'll see parking for $4, and then right across the way is parking for $20. And in my head, I'm like, well, what's so much better about the $20 parking?
Yeah.
Do they also wash your car in there? Usually they don't, but this way...
Yeah, it's usually $4 if you're in there for, like, 2 hours, but then if you're in there for 2 hours and 1 minute, then it's like $85 and your car gets towed.
Exactly. But now there's an app for that. All right, a little bit more excitement in Windows Phone 7 news. We've been trying to push you guys to get out there and start developing apps. The tools are there, and I don't know how much more we can stress it that we want you to develop apps.
Oh, there's one thing that there's a new site out there called Mobile App Match.
Look at that!
Oh, man. This is such a great site where there are two types of people that this is targeted for.
Yes.
One are app developers, likely you guys, and the other is called an app seeker, so people out there that like using apps.
Exactly.
So
people who want you to do stuff for us.
Yes. So I have a couple ideas for great apps that I think would be like really fun things, plus help do a bunch of market research data. So I'll probably create some of those someday, and maybe I'll even post it on this site.
Yeah, it's a great idea because, you know, I may have a great idea for an app, but I can't build it, so I put it on there, and then you... Sure. Paul can build it, or, you know, RHM. I'm talking to you. You know, and then people can vote on which ones they like the best, and, you know, people out there can. It's just a great way of community and a central place where you can go to find apps and
Yeah. You can post videos. You can you can have, like, these little surveys. It's a great way to have these two types of audiences come together in one site.
Yeah, and obviously the goal is for the launch of Windows Phone 7 to have our marketplace just jam-packed with all the best apps possible.
Yeah.
And we got to start that ball rolling now. So
I think we need at least 20 to 40 body function apps where it's just like it makes noises and you can hit like certain buttons and can be activated from across the room. I think that would be...
The sad part is I'll bet you and all your friends would actually download that app.
Probably.
Yeah. Not me.
All right, there's a new website out there that's hosted on Azure. It's called 70gigapixel.cloudapp.net.
Sexy.
Yeah, so that's 70 gigapixel image of this town. That it's a really cool Silverlight app where you can like zoom in very deeply.
Right, I've seen deep zooming before, but this is...
Yeah, this is actually really cool because there was some technology, some robotics involved in taking pictures that are very finely like stitched together. There's like multiple days of like computers crunching these things to put them together, and then also some manual intervention to perfectly stitch them. But it's really cool because there are like a dozen or so regions on the bottom of this picture that you can click on, and it'll like just like zoom you in to like someone parachuting.
Right. I mean, you can zoom in from the distance. I mean, I went deep in and could read license plates. I could read like the name of the apartment complex that, you know, when the image is completely pulled out all the way, the apartment complex is a dot. It was very impressive.
Yeah, and it's really cool how they can take just like thousands and thousands of pictures and then use the technology to stitch them together. I think they said there was between 20 and 30,000 JPEGs that were part of this 70 gigapixel image.
It's big.
By using the Silverlight and deep zoom technology, they're able to make it so that anybody with a web browser can just download the portion that they're looking at. So from a very far out angle, they can get just like one basic JPEG and then just start zooming in instead of taking the 30 to 40 gigabytes or whatever it would be to download the whole image in itself.
Cool. And now, this is a new website, so do you expect there will be more images like this hosted on this website? Because it's just the one now.
So this is all sorts of... They have gigapixel imagery is like the technology that they're putting behind this, so I would imagine that they've taken multiple gigapixel plus photos, but this one's just the world record that they have.
Cool.
Within the first week, they had like 10,000 views, and they're like, all right, this we're on to something
now,
here.
And now, 40,000 more. Thank you, Chenlin. All right, Paul, that just about wraps up the show, but I don't want to date you too much. Well, I don't want to date you at all, but I mean, I don't want to let people know your age. Just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. That's for off-camera talk. Did you have an Atari 2600?
What are we saying? I don't know you.
Have you read in that thing called Encyclopedia what an Atari is? All right, Paul.
Encyclopedia.
You're going to give me the same look when I ask you if you know what Halo is.
Oh, I played Halo.
Okay. Anyway, a very well-known former Microsoft VP, Ed Fries, spelled Fries, but pronounced Fries.
I was wondering if it was Fries or Fries.
Yes, I've always heard it pronounced Fries.
Did people call him Mr. Fries?
That's funny.
That's two jokes in one episode.
I know. I'm not used to you being so quick that it keeps catching me off guard. You must drink that funny juice today. Anyway, what Mr. Freeze has done, now this is interesting too. He just did it for fun in his free time. He took the Halo game and made it a game on a cartridge with his own little sticker logo, an Atari 2600 game.
I would imagine the sticker logo is probably the easiest part of making the
game. I don't know. This man is a pretty world-renowned developer, so he might not have had too difficulty turning this into an Atari game.
So have you played the web-based version?
I have, and you can play it as well. I've played it. I've got my gun. I've shot things.
Okay, see that took me like 15 minutes to figure out. Like I just kept running right and running down and to the right. And I never picked up the gun.
Did you not know you had to get a gun?
I was smashing every key on the keyboard. And I was like, this is dumb. And I had to like look up other websites to realize I had to go up to go find
a
gun.
It's a good thing you're pretty.
Yeah. You know, you're the second person to tell me that this week. They're like, I just feel like...
You got to get the gun before you can shoot things. Yeah. Anyway, Ed, you know, he debuted this at the Classic Games Expo, which I've actually been to.
Oh, the CGE.
Yes. Yes. Those in the know about the CGE. And it's in, when I went to it, it's in Vegas, and it's not on the Strip in Vegas, it's in Old Town Vegas, where you go.
Where all the Ataris are.
Exactly. And it's an interesting breed of people that come out to the Classic Game Expo. We're going to leave those stories for another day. But right now, you can go on, jump out, play Halo on the Atari 2600, web-based. Make sure you get the gun first. And spend all day like Paul, roaming around, going right. And with that, Paul, I think we're done.
I think so, too.
We don't have anything to throw.
That's too bad.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
I'm going to fake it. Ready?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wait, here comes Mike.
Okay.
That's a wrap.